Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are the King of Kings, Lord. You're the creator of life. You're the creator of all, Lord. I ask that you be with my brother, my pastor, Cal, as he brings your word, Lord. I ask that you speak through him. Lord, let us hear what you have for us this morning. We thank you so much for the blessings that you give us each and every day. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel. Martha, thank you. And appreciate our worship team stepping up while Andrew's away. You know, Melinda's mom passed away this week, and so they're down in Louisiana taking care of that. And anyways, it takes a team to pull together and to work together to do Sundays and Wednesdays and just to do church. Amen. If you appreciate the Holy Spirit, he's the one we want here. Give him a hand today. Hallelujah. Well, it is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and all across our Southern Baptist landscape, all around the country, 52,000 churches are going to be talking about the sanctity and the sacredness of life. Our God is a God of life! Exclamation point. And I normally preach about some, you know, pro-life issue or something on abortion or something like that, but I want to go a little bit different direction today. God is intimately involved with us from the beginning of life to the end of life, from the womb to the tomb. God is intimately involved with his creation. Even before you were born, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. Even before you were born, tell somebody I'm special. One of the things I want to do is some of you don't get that. You don't understand just how special you are in God's sight. You're the highest work of his creation. And so I've got just a few short minutes to preach 18 verses out of Psalm 139. So y'all going to have to listen up. We're not going to stand that'll give me some time to move through this message. But I want to talk about the great truths this morning concerning the relationship between you and God. I'm using for a subject, God knows me. Say that with me. God knows me. Say it like you really do mean it. God knows me. So how do you know that? We're in Psalm 139. And how do you know that God, how do I know that God knows me? Well, first of all, he sees me. He sees you. Look at verse 1 and 2. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. Do you see that word search? That word literally means seeing right through a person. God sees you. And you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. God is all-knowing and all-seeing. There isn't anything that God doesn't see, and he sees you this morning. God notices when I sit down. God notices when I'm up and walking around. I mean, God sees everything. He sees when I go to bed at night, and he sees when I got up this morning. He sees me all day long. God sees every move that I make. Y'all are a little quiet over here. God sees every move that we make. He sees me. And then the psalmist goes on to say, he not only sees every move I make, he sees and hears every thought that I have. Man, watch this. Look at verse 2 again. He says, you understand my thought afar off. We read in the gospel accounts, you know, I think Billy talked about this a little bit last week, that Jesus knew their thoughts. How many of you understand that the Lord God is a mind reader? He knows every thought that you have. He knows every thought that that you've ever had. And that kind of grabs me this morning, because you see, He knows my compassionate, kind, and loving thoughts, but He also knows my judgmental, critical, looking down my nose, negative thoughts. He hears and sees and knows every thought that crosses our mind. And then He doesn't stop there. He not only sees every move I make and every thought I have, but He sees every movement that I experience. Look at verse 3. Are y'all with me? I'm moving pretty quick. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. All my ways. And so, God knew when you left the house this morning. He knew that you were coming to church. He knows when you're driving to work. And bless God, I really need Him to know when I'm out here on Interstate 24 headed to Nashville. Bless God for that road. He sees me when I'm on vacation. And you young parents, let me just tell you, He sees you when you're at the ballpark. Hello? Hello? Soccer moms, He sees you too. He sees us wherever we are. And every moment that we experience. He saw us at the funeral yesterday at Kenwood. Ladies, thank y'all so much for bringing so much food. It was a great blessing for the Lewis family. You know, God saw my first steps as a toddler. And bless God, just a few weeks ago, He saw me on that walker. Oh, come on, y'all, lighten up a little bit. Whew, help us, Jesus. He sees us at the hospitals. He sees us when we head to the funeral homes. He sees everything, every moment we experience. And then look at verse 4. He sees and hears every word that I speak. Now watch this. Every word that I speak, verse 4, for there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Ooh, God hears and sees every word I speak. Now, you may not know this, but most of us on average speak somewhere between 50 and 60 words a minute. And some of y'all can speak at speeds of up to 400 words a minute. I was with somebody yesterday. By the end of your life, listen to this. By the end of your life, you've spoken enough words to fill up every volume in a college library. And God heard every one of them. Say, uh-oh with me. And we're going to give an account for the words that we spoke. And so we're talking really here about when God, he's omniscient. He's all-seeing, He's all-knowing. But here's the second great truth that lets me know that God knows me. He strengthens me. God's got His hand on me, and He's got His hand on you. Listen to verse 5. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. God has His hand on me, and He has His hand on you. The Lord's always with us. He goes before us, and He goes behind us. He's not only got your front side, He's got your back side. God's got your back, amen? And His gentle hand is there to lead and guide us all the days of our life. And He supplies us with the strength that we need day to day. Wednesday night, Dwight Dixon gave his testimony, and he said that God orchestrated every single event in his life. His hand leads us and guides us. He has His hand on us. And then here's a really good, this is really good. This gives me strength today. God understands me. There's a lot of y'all that don't understand me, but He does. He does. He gets it. Look at verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You know, when David wrote this psalm, right after God had just alerted him that the Messiah, that God's coming kingdom would come through the line and lineage of David. And you know what? That blows me away, because David, I mean, he had some tremendous sins in his life. And yet God knew and understood David's heart. He had a heart that was after God. God understands everything. And can I just go, I don't know what's going on in your life. You may think this morning nobody understands what's going on with you, but God does. He strengthens us. His hand's on us. And he understands us. Here's the third one. He sustains me. How do you know that God knows us? How do I know God knows me? Well, he sees me. He strengthens me. And thirdly, he sustains me. Now, watch this. Death can't separate us from God. We're talking now about not his omniscience, but his omnipresence. Y'all with me? That's a big Bible word. It just means that God's always present. Look at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Even death cannot separate us from God. Death cannot hide you from God. He's omnipresent. Even if I ascend into heaven, he's there. If I ascend into the grave or even into hell, he's there. I like what the scripture tells us over there in Romans chapter 8. I've done a few funerals for folks who committed suicide, and I don't believe suicide is the unpardonable sin. Now, I'm not advocating you take your life, because guess who the next face is you'll see? Basically telling him that he made a mistake in making you. But Romans chapter 8 says that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give him some praise today. Hallelujah. Death can't separate us. Distance can't separate us. Look at verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. No matter where we go, no matter who we go with, the presence of the Lord is with us. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Aren't you thankful for that? Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. God is always with us. Distance can't separate us from him. Death can't separate us from him. And even darkness can't separate us from him. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You see, darkness and light are the same with God. He sees everything, always, everywhere. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Did y'all know that most crimes are committed under the cloak of darkness? But God sees every one of them. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the blackouts we used to have in major cities. I remember in the 70s, Teddy, I think it was New York City, had a blackout. Man, tremendous looting and all kinds of stuff took place. But God saw what was happening even in the midst of darkness. And he sees what happens in a dark room. He said it's just like day to him. I remember several years ago, Diana, we were down at Mammoth Cave. You remember that? We were celebrating Brittany's birthday at Mammoth Cave. That was a real high water mark for her, I'm sure. But we were broke, busted, and disgusted. We were in seminary then, okay? But anyways, we took a tour through Mammoth Cave, and it was fantastic. I couldn't believe everything that we were seeing. And all of a sudden, our guide said, y'all stop. And she said, turn off your flashlights. And then, so we turned off our flashlight. And then all of a sudden, the lights, they turned those off. And you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And it all got real quiet. And the thought hit me, nobody can see me. But you know what? That was wrong, because God was even right there in the darkness. Maybe you're going through a dark time in your life. Man, God's with you. He's there. Isn't this a great psalm? Now, Here's the one I really wanted to get to. Sarah was good enough to read these verses to us. But here's the last truth. Not only does God see us and strengthen us and sustain us, but God satisfies us. Look again at verse 13. I got to read this again because it's so powerful. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Our God is the creator and author of life. Now, at conception, the husband, I can't even go there anymore. The man supplies the sperm and the woman supplies the egg. Y'all get that, right? And so a lot of folks think that it's the man and the woman that had the conceived life. No. God, who gave the sperm and the egg to the man and the woman? God did. And that word formed up there in verse 13 means to knit, to weave. God brought the two of them together and began to knit that baby at the very moment of life, at conception. God was there, intimately involved in the creation of that child. And God created you. Now, Scripture says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I began to think about, that Genesis 1:27 says that we're made in the image of God. Think about that. We're made in the image of God. We're made in His likeness. Let me unpack that real quick for you. You've got a spirit like God's. Now, you're not the Holy Spirit, but you have a spirit, and so does God. Your spirit gives you the capacity to worship. That's what you're able to do here. It gives you the ability to exercise love and kindness. It gives you the ability to extend grace in someone else's life. You've got a spirit. You've also got a mind. You've got a mind, and you're able to think and to reason and to respond and to calculate and to make deductions and discern different things, and you're able to calculate. You're able to communicate. Well, most of us can. You read and you write, and you're able to do that. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in the image of God. You're like Him. Now, you're not Him, but we're made like Him. And we also have the responsibility to live a moral life. Now, you're made in His image. Now, I want every young person to listen to me, because I don't know where in the world all this low self-esteem mess comes from. It didn't come from God. You're His highest work of creation. You are not some piece of junk. You are not garbage. God made you and created you just like you are. You're not some blob of tissue that just evolved. God help us. What a lie from the pit of hell itself. You're not a mistake. God was intimately involved. He brought all of that stuff together in your mama's womb and boom, gave you life. He's the one who creates and authors life. Hallelujah to His name. And by the way, not only are you God's greatest work of creation, His great plan for your life is to bring Him glory. Isaiah 43:7. The reason God made you is that you might give Him honor and praise and glory your entire life. Life is sacred because God created you. But y'all, man, I got to speed up here. He not only created you, He considers you. Ooh, me. We got to turn the page here. Let's see, verse 17. Listen to this. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, God's intimately involved in the conception of life, but bless God, it doesn't stop there. He continues to develop and to grow and to mature his creatures. He's the one who develops us. His supervision continues all throughout our life, from the womb to the tomb. I said it earlier. He thinks about us. And by the way, he has planned each day for us. You see, we may make plans, but God is the one who orders our steps. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And he thinks thoughts towards you. He thinks about you all the time. That's what the psalmist just said. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. God thinks about you all the time. I wonder what he's thinking. He knows your thoughts. Young people love Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "And I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope." And God has a desire that your life, which began before you were ever conceived, that you would accomplish his plan and his purpose for your life. Y'all, this is not some playground where we just skip through life, you know. No, God's got a purpose in your being here. And he'll give your life meaning. He'll give your life purpose. And he'll show you what he wants for you and from you and to you. He'll do all of that. But in order to know his desire for your being here, you got to get to know him. Now, we've already agreed. I mean, God knows us, right? He sees us. Every move we make, every thought we have, every moment we experience, every word we speak, he strengthens us. His hand's on us. He understands us. He sustains us. Nothing can separate us from God. You can't hide from God. Jonah found that out. Death, distance, and darkness can't separate us. And bless God, he created you and he created me and he considers you and he thinks about you and me as well. We know God knows us. God knows me and God knows you. But here's the bigger question. Do you know him? Because if you know him in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, guess what? You can accomplish the reason that God puts you here. Whew. That's so deep I could go on for another 45 minutes. But you know the verse, Billy, that grabbed me always does when we start talking about knowing God and him knowing us is Matthew 7 on Judgment Day. Well, Lord, you know me. I did all these things in your name. I preached in your name. I witnessed in your name. I did good works in your name. I gave tithes at the church in your name. I did all of this stuff in your name. And Jesus will stop that person, right? This is in the scriptures. And he said, "Depart from me because I never knew you." Whew. That's the question. Do you know him? Let's bow our heads together as our musicians are coming. Do you know him? That is the question. And I'm not talking, do you know him with your mind? Does your heart know him? Are you in a relationship with him? Do you know him intimately the way he knows you? Do you know him? Every head bowed and every eye closed now. Our war room is open. our prayer room. The altar is open. And if you're not sure if you're one of God's children, if you're not sure that you're in a relationship with Him, He knows you already. But the way you get to know Him is turning from your sin and turning by faith to Him alone, to the Lord Jesus, as your only means of salvation. And on this cold Sunday morning, if you'd be willing to do what the Scripture tells you to do, man, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and He'll warm you up this morning. And you can begin a relationship with God. But in order to do that, you need to make the first step. Maybe there's something else going on in your life. If you'll just come, we'll take care of everything for you. We'll lead you in prayer. We'll counsel with you. We'll pray over you. But you've got to take that step. Father, it is the desire of my heart to see people be obedient today. God, some of us claim to know you and we're not living like it. There's areas of disobedience in our lives, unforgiveness, unbelief. Other things are weighing us down and hindering our progress. Oh God, would you minister life to the good folks here at Second Mile Church this morning? We know, God, that we're special to you because you created us, you made us, and you love us. And I just pray for an outpouring of your Spirit upon these dear people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Look right here at me. We're going to sing a hymn of response, an invitation time. And if you've got anything going on, you need salvation, you need to be baptized, you need to be a church member, you need peace, you need revival in your life, that's what the altar's here for. That's why the prayer room is open. But you need to get up out of your seat and come. Come to Jesus.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.